Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
Jesus said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth." Now notice the order here. There are concentric circles here. Jesus said, I want you to start in Jerusalem. And then from Jerusalem, I want you to go to Judea. And then from Judea, I want you to go to Samaria. And then I want you to go to the ends of the earth. But for our purposes here today, the important thing is where Jesus told the early church to start. He said, start in your own backyard. Start in your own Jerusalem. Reach out and penetrate your own city for Jesus Christ. Now, friends, in developing our vision here as a church, we feel that all we've done is take the words of Jesus right out of the Bible and obey them, going out and penetrating our Jerusalem for Jesus Christ, going out and trying to saturate Washington, D.C. with the message of Christ. Now, frankly, I believe that this is the duty of every local church in every city, but what makes our job so exciting and so significant is that God has given us the most strategic city in the world to go out and reach for Him. Washington is the only city left in the 21st century about which you can truly say, change this city for Jesus Christ, and the results will change the whole world. You know, I'm sure Des Moines, Iowa is a wonderful town. I've never been to Des Moines, Iowa. Frankly, I have no desire to ever go to Des Moines, Iowa. But if you were to lead every single man, woman, and child in Des Moines, Iowa to Jesus Christ, that would be great, but the result would not change America and would not change the world. Friends, you lead every single man, woman, and child in Washington, D.C. to Jesus Christ, every single congressman, every single senator, every Supreme Court justice, every government worker, every lobbyist, every military officer, every lawyer, hallelujah. If you lead all those people to Christ, if you lead every foreign student in this town to Christ, every ambassador to Christ, every worker in the embassies, every military attaché, every employee at the World Bank, if you lead all these people to Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. The structure, the laws, and the society of this country would change, and the reverberations of that would be felt around this globe. Well, this is what we're trying to do in this city. This is our goal, to change America and change the world by changing Washington, D.C. And this explains one of our core values. We have 10. This is number 9, which says our church must have an evangelistic impact on our community. What are we really saying when we say this? Well, let me tell you what it means. This core value means, number 1, that we as a church family, we believe Jesus called us to be a player in this town, to be a force in our world, not a fortress. Second of all, we believe that it is unacceptable for us to exist in this community for years and at the end of that time to have made little or no impact on this community for Jesus Christ. That is unacceptable. Third, this means that the true measure of our success as a church here at McLean Bible Church is not how many parking spaces we have, how many seats we have in the auditorium, how big our budget is, or how many people we have on staff. The measure of our success is how many people's lives we change for Jesus Christ. It means, fourth, that our mission in this city is to saturate Washington, both the urban inner city as well as the suburbs, with the message of Christ until every person in this city has had the chance to hear the message of Christ and respond to it. And finally, this means that every dollar people give here, every hour people serve here, and every prayer that people pray here is singularly dedicated to this mission. That's what that core value means. Now, I believe that we have the same core value that Peter, James, John, Philip, Andrew, Matthew, the Apostle Paul, and all the early believers had. He said, well, Lon, I look here in the Bible, I don't see core value number 9 written down here. No, they didn't write it down exactly like that. But if we were able to go back in time and meet all these guys and take, hey, this core value number 9, our church must have an evangelistic impact on our community, what do you think? They would have said amen and amen. Because that's exactly the way they live. Hey, these early believers, wherever they went, they saturated their cities with the message of Jesus Christ. For example, Jerusalem. Hey, Acts chapter 5, if you want to turn over there, verse 28. It says, they brought the apostles, that is Peter, James, John, Matthew, those guys, in before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, and the high priest said to them, we gave you strict orders not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Well, there you go. How much better does it get than that? They said, hey, everywhere we go, we hear people talking about Jesus. We told you not to do that, but they did it. Acts chapter 6 goes on to say, and the word of God kept spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the Jewish priests became obedient to the faith. Friends, this is no small thing. You talk about saturating a city, convincing a Jewish priest to believe in Jesus is like convincing Dr. Atkins to be the spokesman for Krispy Kreme. You understand what I'm saying? It's just not going to happen very often. This is the level to which they had penetrated that community. Now, what about the Apostle Paul? Everywhere he went, this was his goal, to saturate his community. Hey, Acts chapter 16, when he was in Philippi, the crowd who was trying to get him killed said this about him and Paul and Silas. They said, these men are throwing our whole city into an uproar. Then he went to Thessalonica, Acts 17, and the crowd here charged him and said, these men who have turned the world upside down have now come here. And then in Acts 19, when he was in Ephesus, the Bible says that Paul taught the word of God daily in the school of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that, watch this now, all the Jews and Gentiles who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, you know, this is where we left off in our series on the life of Paul when I went on summer break. We left Paul here in Ephesus at the beginning of his third missionary journey. And remember, he had gone into the synagogue for 3 months teaching the Bible. Verse 9 of this chapter says, but when some of the Jewish people became obstinate and began to speak evil of the way, Paul withdrew from the synagogue and taught the word of God daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, what do we know about this guy, Tyrannus? Well, we don't know anything about him. We don't know whether he owned the building or whether he was the main teacher there. We don't know whether he let Paul use the hall free or whether he rented it to him. All we know is that somehow, some way, Paul got permission every day to teach and preach the word of God there. Seekers came to hear him. Believers came to hear him. And within 2.5 years, the Bible says, the whole, verse 10, look, all the Jews and Gentiles who lived in the whole province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. They say, well, Lon, wait a minute. Don't you think that this might be an exaggeration? I mean, maybe this is Bible speak. You know what I mean? Maybe this is just like a big hyperbole, you know? No, I don't think so. Verse 26 of this chapter, Demetrius the silversmith, who was out to get Paul killed, he was Paul's enemy. Look what he said in verse 26. He said, this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people, watch, here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. That's what his enemy said. The Bible says that the tens and hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions, who lived in this province at the time Paul was in Ephesus, every one of them had heard the message of Jesus Christ. In fact, the province of Asia was so thoroughly evangelized during these 2.5 years by Paul that it became the center of the Christian faith in the Eastern Mediterranean for the next 14 centuries. All the churches that led the faith were located right here in the province of Asia. Now, you say, Lon, that's amazing. I know. But why can't it happen today? You know, when I was in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I had just come to Christ, and I was brand new in the faith. It was 1971, and I began reading the book of Acts. I'd never read the Bible. I'd never read the New Testament. And I remember saying to myself as I was reading all of this, why can't some church today have this kind of an effect on its community the way the churches in the New Testament did? And friends, I looked around Chapel Hill, and there were churches just about everywhere. And what were they doing to reach the 15,000 college students on that campus? Absolutely nothing. You say, why? Well, because they didn't have the vision for it. You know, you take the average pastor leading the average church on the corner of Elm and Maple Street. What's that pastor's vision? Very simply, it's keep the sheep in the pen. That's it. It groom the sheep, take care of the sheep, soothe the sheep. Don't rock the boat, make them feel comfortable. And then if you do a good job of that, well, they'll give you more sheep to keep in a bigger pen. And if you do a good job of that, they'll promote you to headquarters where you don't even need to mess with sheep. Now, this is the way the churches in Chapel Hill, North Carolina were. They were playing keep the sheep in the pen. Meanwhile, not 100 yards outside their front door, there were thousands of college kids going to hell in a handbasket. I was one of them. Friends, if I'd have waited, they weren't doing a blessed thing to reach us. If I'd have waited for the churches in Chapel Hill, North Carolina to reach me for Christ, I'd be in hell today. And so as I was reading the book of Acts, I remember saying to myself out loud, Lord, I swear to you that if you ever give me any measure of leadership in some local church. Now at the time, I had an afro out to my shoulders, love beads, I wore tank tops, bell bottoms, and motorcycle boots, so the odds weren't great. Okay. But I swore. I said, Lord, if you ever give me a measure of leadership in a local church, you have my solemn promise. I will do everything in my power to see to it that that church in which I'm a leader acts like the churches in the book of Acts and not the churches in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And that's why we've got the vision we've got today. Because this stuff pulsates through my veins. That we've got thousands of people right outside our door, tens of thousands of people going to hell in a handbasket, and we just can't play keep the sheep in the pen. We've got to go out and do everything we can to interact with those folks and tell them the good news that can change their life. And they say, well, Lon, I got one more question for you, and that is, how did Paul do this? I mean, how in the world did he pull this off? That's a huge landmass, and he reached that thing in 2.5 years. How did he ever do it? What was his strategy? Well, friends, it may surprise you to know that during those 2.5 to 3 years, the Apostle Paul himself never left the city of Ephesus. You know all those little red circles we saw up there? He never went to any of those places and preached, never visited any of those cities, never went to any of those churches. He never left Ephesus. You say, well, then how in the world did he reach this whole province? I'll tell you how. He did it through people like Epaphras. Say Epaphras. Yeah, Colossians 1. You'll see him. Look, we thank God, Paul writes, we thank God for you believers in Colossae. Remember, that was one of the little circles we saw up there, okay? For you guys in Colossae every day, because we have heard of your faith in Christ. Paul hadn't been there. He just heard about them. You heard the message from Epaphras. There's our friend, who is a faithful servant of Christ and who told us about your faith in Christ. And Epaphras later on in the book is mentioned as a person who is one of the Colossians' fellow citizens in chapter 4, verse 12. So friends, it's obvious what happened. Ephesus was the center, the capital of the province of Asia. It was the center of trade and commerce. People came from all over the province there. And one day this young man Epaphras showed up in Ephesus on business or pleasure, who knows what. He met Paul. He heard Paul preach. He gave his life to Christ. He started attending the school of Tyrannus. He started growing into a mature follower of Christ. He became trained in how to share his faith. And Paul motivated and challenged this man to become a missionary. A volunteer, everyday person, but a missionary who would take his faith to his friends, his neighbors, his relatives, his co-workers, and back to his hometown. And Epaphras went back to Colossae. And probably to Laodicea and Hierapolis. They're all there together. And he was the one who preached. He was the one who led people to Christ. He was the one who started those churches. And this is how every single one of those churches you saw on that map got started. They were started by Paul raising up an army of thousands of volunteer missionaries, everyday missionaries, and challenging them to go out for Christ and reach their friends, reach their neighbors, reach their cities, reach their province. Paul not only saturated that province, Paul marinated that province in the message of Jesus Christ. That's how he did it. Now, for us here at McLean Bible Church, knowing this has huge importance, because it seems to me that if we are trying to accomplish and achieve the same thing as Paul here in Washington, to saturate this city for Christ, then it seems reasonable we ought to copy his strategy, the way he did it. You say, well, no, wait a minute, Lon. 20 centuries later, we got lots of stuff available to us Paul didn't have back then. I mean, we've got technology and programming today that he didn't have. I mean, we've got youth camps and tape ministries and CD ministries. We have targeted ministries to children and young people and seniors. We have access for children with special needs. We have the house in Anacostia and Daybreak in Lincoln Heights. We've got the food pantry and the clothing exchange and Beginning Again for people who've been through divorce. Man, look at all the programming and technology we've got he didn't have. Well, that's true. We've got radio, you say. You know, he didn't have radio, and we should use that, and friends, we are. You know, we're on 7 stations with a half-hour program on Sunday morning, trying to get to a dozen. We're on 13 secular stations here in Washington with Not a Sermon, Just a Thought, our little one-minute ditty. We're on HFS, DC-101, Z-104, MZQ, Smooth Jazz, Wash FM. We buy time on the Sports Junkies and on Howard Stern. You go, oh, wait, Howard Stern? You guys buy advertising time on Howard Stern? Absolutely. It's not the people who listen to Christian radio that need a doctor. It's the people that listen to Howard Stern. So we buy time on Howard Stern. And you wouldn't believe how many people come to Christ here, where when we say to them, where's the first place you ever heard us, they say, Howard Stern. Our Howard Stern converts outnumber all the rest of them put together. It's true. And you say, well, like, what do you say on the radio? I don't think I've ever heard one of these. I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to run one for you. This is one that's running right now, and this is what we say. He came from heaven, and he brought us to heaven. We were waiting for the right man, and the right man came. Hi, this is Lon Solomon, pastor of McLean Bible Church. And those words were said by Tampa Bay Buccaneers owner Malcolm Glazer, referring to the Bucs coach John Gruden, who led the team to Super Bowl 37. Now, winning the Super Bowl is a wonderful thing, but it's a far shot from heaven. In fact, the man who can bring us to heaven is not John Gruden at all, but the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets into heaven unless they get there by way of me. So, folks, you want to win the Super Bowl, follow John Gruden. You want to go to heaven, follow Jesus Christ. Not a sermon, just a thought. Okay, so that's what we run. Put it right on the radio. And let me just say to you that using all of this programming and technology, I think we're doing a much better job of reaching this city than most of us realize. Everywhere I go in this city, I hear people talking about McLean Bible Church and the impact that we're making. I had the opportunity this summer to be down at the White House to meet the president. I was sitting in the outer room with Brenda waiting to go in and meet him. And we had 4 people walk by. I'd never seen any of them before and say, I go to your church, I go to your church, I go to your church, I go to your church. I know any of these people. I'm like, that's great, that's great, that's great, that's great. Working right here in the White House next to the president. Brenda and I were at a restaurant, I won't tell you which one, here locally this summer. And the waiter who was waiting on us came up and said to me, he said, hey, I need you to do me a favor. He said, I need you to settle a bet, a wager that I and this waitress that he pointed to, or young lady, have. I said, what kind of wager are you talking about? He said, well, when I came over here to wait on you and take your order and I heard you talk, I said to myself, that is the Not a Sermon dude right there. He said, but I went over and sent her over to deliver the drinks and make sure you talked, and she heard your voice and she said, no, you're not. So we got a wager going, and we need to know, are you the Not a Sermon dude or aren't you? I said, yes, I am. He went, hot dog, I won. And I don't know what they wagered. I didn't ask. But then I said to him, hey, just out of curiosity, I said, how come she didn't think that I was the guy? He said, well, she says she hears you all the time on the radio, but she thought the guy would be younger. So there you go. Anyway, but listen, friends, using all of this programming and all of this technology, you know what? If we're really going to make the kind of impact on Washington that Paul made on the province of Asia, it still has to happen the old-fashioned way. The secret is still individual, everyday missionaries going out and talking to their friends, their neighbors, their co-workers, and their relatives. You can't just do it with programming. We can't just do it with technology. It's still about everyday missionaries. That's how Paul did it. He raised up and deployed an army of missionaries. And if we're going to get the job done, that's how we're going to have to do it here. People like Epaphras. People like Missionary Bob. You say, who's he? Well, I got this letter. Let me read it to you. It's from a young lady, and here's what she said. She said, Dear Pastor Solomon, this letter is long overdue. You see, a couple of years ago, a very dear friend of mine, Bob, gave me a copy of your testimony tape. For many years, my friend Bob has prayed that someday I would come to know Jesus Christ. I grew up in a conservative Jewish family where I went to temple and Hebrew school very regularly. I was bat mitzvahed at 13 years of age. My uncle was a rabbi in Puerto Rico for many years, and we observed all the Jewish traditions and holidays. However, although my friend Bob tried many times to witness to me, I was very much against even the idea of Jesus. It wasn't until my boyfriend and I began to discuss marriage that I even opened my mind enough to consider the facts. I reflected on how I grew up in an abusive home where my father was an alcoholic and would beat my mother severely. I thought about the fact that my mother was now in her fifth marriage. I wanted so much more for my marriage and the life of my future children. It was at this time where I went looking for, found, and finally listened to the tape that Bob had given me. I listened to the tape over and over and over. I began studying the Bible and attending Bible classes with my future husband. 5 months before we were married, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and my life has never been the same. So what's the action item as we finish today that I want from you? Well, friends, here's what we want. Either you walk out of here and you say, you know what? I know how to share my faith. I'm good at it. I've been trained, and I'm going to commit myself to be one of those missionaries every day here in Washington. Or you walk out of this auditorium saying, I really don't know how to share my faith that well. I'm going to go sign up for Christianity 301, and I'm going to learn how to do it because I want to be a player in this town. I want to help us blow this town up for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what would happen if we turned 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 missionary Bobs loose in this town? Friends, we would rock this town for Jesus Christ. We would marinate this town for Jesus Christ. We've got that many people here. We can do it. It's just a question of whether you got the heart for it, and I hope you do. Father, thanks for reminding us today of why we exist. We don't exist to do a building program. We don't exist to own property. We don't exist to have parking spaces. We exist to bring people to a life-transforming decision for Jesus in their life. And Father, my prayer is that you would motivate every one of us here to want to be a missionary Bob or missionary Susie, to want to go out and be part of seeing you rock this city for Christ. Father, my prayer is that you would take us as just a group of ordinary, everyday folks, and as we take seriously our responsibility to impact this city, that you would exceed anything and everything we ever dreamed about in this town, and that you would blow this town apart for Christ, and that the effects would be felt around America and around our world. Lord, thanks for giving us the greatest city in the world to go after. May we go after it faithfully for Jesus Christ. Unify us around this purpose and this vision. And God, help us as a church family make an impact on this city that people will write about and talk about for years to come. And we pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?